This message is part of the educational ministry of Columbia International University. We've been preparing world Christians to know Him and to make Him known since 1923.
Morning, everyone. Thank you. Well, my name is not Josiah Venture. As it says on the chapel schedule, that is our secret code name that we use when we go and speak to people. But my name is Robert Chestnut. That is my actual real name. I know, it always goes over really well. It goes great in the other country, too, that I live in. I live in the Czech Republic, and when you try and explain that to people, you have to switch it over to the Czech word for chestnut, and they giggle as well. So it's rather international in that sense. But this morning, we are here from Josiah Venture. It's an organization that is focused on working with young people in Central and Eastern Europe. And today, myself and my team, I'm currently living in the Czech Republic, and then we have Mike and Yanni, and they are living in Slovakia. Yanni is a Slovak by nationality. So today we are here to represent Czechoslovakia, if you would, as all of your parents and grandparents would say, but it's actually really Czech Republic and Slovakia. So you can help to correct them on that one, as I find myself doing basically every time I talk to them. So it's a work in progress. But it's great to be here at Columbia. My parents went to Columbia. They met here at Columbia. My brother went to Columbia. My grandfather was on the board here at Columbia. And I have only visited. But I am the one that gets to speak in chapel. So something has obviously been tilted in another direction. My dad said the other day, he's like, I have given money to this place every month since I graduated, and how do you end up being the one that gets to speak in chapel? So I don't know what I've done specifically, but no, it's again, it's really great to be with you guys today. And the purpose of our visit, why we are here, is we are here because of you guys. Our main thrust in the Czech Republic and in Slovakia is through our English camp ministry. And our English camp ministry is an evangelistic tool that we use, and it's a hybrid of national churches, which is Czech churches and Slovak churches, U.S. churches, and then interns. And our interns, they are really the glue of our camp. They are young people who have completed at least a year of college, and they are there to help make camp possible. You, as Americans, have an unbelievable gift and ability that you bring to us when you come to visit. And that is just your shining personalities. Oh, you smile so brightly, and you make eye contact when you talk to people, and you show genuine interest when you're communicating with someone. And we don't really have a lot of that in the Czech Republic and Slovakia from time to time. So we need you to bring that adventure, to bring that energy, and to bring that connection. We're seeing a new dynamic in our country, quite frankly. Most people, if you were to talk to a Czech, if I were to bring them up on stage, they would tell you that the Czech Republic is the most atheistic country in all of Europe. The last time the census was taken, it said over 60% of the population identify themselves as atheist or no religious connection whatsoever. And yet, just right next door in Slovakia, you would find that if I were to bring a Slovak up on stage, which I'll do later, he would tell you that our country is deeply religious and that we have deep religious roots, but it's connected to Catholicism. So we have a country on one side that is unbelievably atheistic, and we have another side that is unbelievably religious. So what do we do in that scenario? Where is the fine line in the middle? And the amazing thing is that we are seeing a new shift in this new generation. When you think of Josiah Venture and you look at the word Josiah, I hope it points you back to the Old Testament, the story of King Josiah. And King Josiah, when he was king over Israel, just a young age, was able to change the hearts of the nation. He was able to point his nation back to God. He was able to point Israel back to God. He found the law. And so what we are doing in our country is finding the common ground in these young people, in these Josiahs, in these men and women who we hope will be able to impact their country in the future going forward. And so when we talk about what we're looking for specifically, you know, we're dealing now in a post-communist generation. And what that means specifically is, you know, when the wall came down, all this great stuff just came in. We just have a new, we have a new mall that just opened up down the road, like 40 minutes from where I live in Czech Republic. And you can stand in one place and you can see a Subway, a McDonald's, a Burger King, a KFC, and a sushi place in one place. And there's a Starbucks just over my shoulder. This is like Shangri-La, people. You have no idea what this means to us who like go without for days on end. But so there is a massive Western influence. And so you see this new generation, they have all of the stuff that their parents didn't have. They have the smartphones. They've got the clothes. They've got iPads, computers, Facebook accounts. They watch Big Bang Theory, How I Met Your Mother. They've got all the movies that you guys have. In fact, has the new Bond movie opened up yet? Yeah. It's coming. Yes, I've already seen it. So there you go. Living in Europe, perks. There you go. But so, like, it's not, you know, Serbia or Siberia, although we're in Serbia, so I should be careful when I say that. But it's not this idea of, you know, it's war torn and we have electricity on Wednesdays, and you know, if I want to make a call, I have to hike 40 miles to a payphone that they operate by like a rotary hand dial. I mean, this is Europe. They are fine. If I were to bring them up on stage and you look at them, you'd say, he looks just like me. They just have a little bit of an accent. But what we see now is that all of this stuff, all of these things that give us joy and satisfaction are not doing it. We had a survey last year. We went into a number of high schools throughout both of our countries, actually. And when we came back, we pooled all the results together. 67% of the students said they believe there is some form of a spiritual world beyond what they can see. 67% of this new generation, this generation that has no concept of communism, this generation that has just simply grown up with all of the perks and availabilities that we have. And it is this generation that we are seeking after. It is this generation that we are going after. And it is this generation that is our focus, that is the drive of what we're doing. And Czechs and Slovaks particularly have a much different view of relationships. They have a much different view of building, of community and being together with people. You know, I went to Cedarville University. I went to a Christian high school, and I was best friends with everyone because, you know, that's what we do in America. And if I hung around here for just, you know, a few more hours, I would be best friends with all of you guys as well. We would exchange Facebook information. You would consider me to be a groomsman at your wedding, possibly, or an usher, depending on the level of relationship we attain. Like, this is just who we are as Americans, you know, and I would go up and say, hey, how you doing? And you'd say, great. And then you'd come and ask me, hey, how you doing? I'd say, great. And, you know, we're all great, even though I'm dying inside. Or something, you know, like we're not going to open up directly. Where it is, if I were to bring Yanni up on stage and say, how you doing? He'd go, that's a really serious question. I really need to think about that. And suddenly we as Americans are like, oh, no, we've hit that wall. We're talking to them. We have this great saying that Czechs are like coconuts and Americans are like peaches. You guys are from the South, so you can identify with that. In the fact that peaches, as Americans, we're soft and squishy on the outside. But when you get to the middle, oh, hey, you keep your distance there, buddy, all right? All right, easy. I'm from New York originally, so I know how to just, you know, hey, don't touch me. But Czechs are like coconuts. They're just rough on the outside straight away. But once you get into the middle, that's where the good stuff is. And if you can get through that outer shell, then you've really got a friend for life. And this is why we go, we aim to build relationships, and this is the drive of what we do. We're a relationally driven ministry by presenting the gospel of Jesus Christ through our lives and through our actions, through the time we spend with people. Another really good story in regards to building relationships, my coworker David, who is not here, he's in California, on another part of this kind of excursion that we're all doing. And when he was first introduced to Facebook, we signed him up for Facebook. He's a Czech guy. And so after a couple days, he had, you know, a ton of friend requests because the English camp ministry that we do in the summer, we meet all of these teams come over from the States, so we get this mass influx of friend requests over the summer, and then, we just work them into the Rolodex, so to speak. And but David, when he opens up his Facebook account and he looks at it, and he just says, Nate, and that's one of the other guys I work with. He was like, Nate, who are these people? Why are they asking you to be my friend? Oh, well, that's so-and-so. He was on the Arizona team. Oh, I do not know him. Denied. No, David, that's not how it works. Facebook is a sacred entity. We accept everyone. You don't deny anyone. But it was a foreign concept to him in some ways because that's not the way he builds a relationship. Talking to someone for 10 minutes does not equal you are worthy to be on my Facebook wall and therefore I need to get your updates, which would be a fascinating thing for all of us to apply in our own lives, but that's for another time. So when we talk about building relationships with people, when we talk about this relational ministry of, our summer evangelistic outreach events and other things that we do, we tie it back to a local church because that gives us a connection. That gives us something to hold tight to so we just don't have a big event and then we walk away. But it takes a while to build relationships with these students. And I think it takes a while for us as well as we begin to make inroads with non-believers and other people in our lives who desperately need the gospel of Jesus Christ. And in building, that's what I really kind of wanted to talk about today directly. So we're going to do some quick jumping. Please take out your electronic Bibles, or if you still believe in paper, you can do that as well. Hooray for those people. Yes, my wife would be friends with you. Great. So I want to go to 1 Corinthians 3, verses 4 to 11. We're going to check out what Paul has to say about building. And while you guys look, I'm going to go ahead and jump into it. For when one says, I follow Paul, and another, I follow Apollos, are you not being merely human? What then is Apollos? What is Paul? Servants through whom you believed, as the Lord assigned to each. I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the growth. So neither he who plants nor he who waters is anything, but only God who gives the growth. He who plants and he who waters are one, and each will receive his wages according to his labor. For we are God's fellow workers. You are God's field, God's building. According to the grace of God given to me, like a skilled master builder, I laid a foundation and someone else is building upon it. Let each one take care how he builds upon it, for no one can lay a foundation other than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. So as we approach our opportunities to connect with these students, as we approach our opportunities to build, we keep this in the forefront of our minds, that we are either laying a foundation or we are building upon what someone else has already started. And this is the beauty of the gospel. It's not me, it's not you, it's not them. It's us collectively in different stages in different times. All of you, I am positive, got to the point that you are because of someone else's influence on you, because of someone else directing and guiding and building into your life. Someone laid the foundation and someone built upon it. It's parents, youth workers, random strangers, tracks. I have no idea. But that is the beauty of what we're doing. But as we look at what it is to build, we need to understand what it is to build. Now, the engineers, the engineering department here in Columbia, no hands, not so much? Okay. Oh, this whole thing's going to fall apart. No. Building requires a specific set of instructions, direction, tools, etc. So we want to look about this key part when you build. What's the first thing you need when you build? Foundation. Correct. A foundation. I know nothing of architecture or building as well, so don't, judge me or anything like that. Anyway, so we go to Ephesians 2, 19 and 20. And I really like this one because it appeals to strangers and aliens and us being missionaries in a foreign country. I think it's rather appropriate. So then, you are no longer strangers and aliens, but you are fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God, built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Christ Jesus himself being the cornerstone. All right. So now we understand what our foundation is. Our foundation comes from the apostles and prophets, people who have come before us, but there's this key thing in there, the cornerstone. And I ask you, what is a cornerstone? Yes, Bible students, you know this so well. There's no engineers, so we got nothing to go with. I'm fine. I'm not one either. But a cornerstone is that central piece. How many cornerstones are there in a building? One. Yes, one. The lady in the front row Finger in the air. One. Yes. There is only one cornerstone. If you have more than one cornerstone, you're going to get some really funky looking postmodern building that's just spiraled into nothingness. But there's always one cornerstone. That is your starting point. You can't have more than one. So let's look at our cornerstone specifically. And this is very much referenced in Isaiah 28, 16, but I'm going to jump over to 1 Peter 2, 6 because I like the way he phrases it in there. So 1 Peter 2, 6, for it stands in Scripture, behold, I am laying in Zion a stone, a cornerstone, chosen and precious, and whoever believes in him will not be put to shame. And that last line is awesome. Whoever believes in him will not be put to shame. So we as Christians, as we understand what it is to build, we have our foundation, we have our cornerstone being Jesus, the foundation that the apostles and prophets, the people that have come before, and that is the way in which we build. We need to understand how we build. And even Jesus himself being a carpenter, which is close to building something, also has a little something to say in regards to masonry and foundations and things of that nature. And if you see this in Luke 6, 46 to 49, why do you call me Lord, Lord, and not do what I tell you? Everyone who comes to me and hears my words and does them, I will show you what he is like. He is like a man building a house who dug deep and laid the foundation on the rock. And when a flood arose, the stream broke against the house and could not shake it because it had been well built. But the one who hears and does not do them is like a man who built a house on the ground without a foundation. When the streams broke against it, immediately it fell, and the ruin of that house was great. Jesus is talking about the importance of building well, of understanding your foundation. And in this context, understanding where you come from and what you know and what that drives you to do in terms of building and going forward with the relationships that you establish, with the people that you meet, with the people that God brings in and out of your life. You need to know your foundation, the cornerstone. Know the rock, what you are building upon. And this is something we really strive for in Central and Eastern Europe. As we build the relationships with these students, we know it's a process that's going to take time. But that's why I really like the tail end of going all the way back to 1 Corinthians in verse 10 and 11. According to the grace of God given to me like a skilled master builder, I laid a foundation and someone else is building upon it. And this is the most important part that I want you to listen to. Let each one take care how he builds upon it. Take care how we build. Students, guys, gals, brothers, sisters, the whole kit and caboodle. We are building collectively. We're in Eastern and Central Europe. You guys are in Colombia and going all over the place in different directions. We want to encourage you guys to continue to build. Or if your summer's free, come and build with us. If you'd like more information, we're going to be in the McKee Dining Hall, and we're also going to be down by the display thing. But this is what we want you guys to do. Yes, come and get that information. But we also want to encourage you guys as you build. And, you know, I as an American can only talk to so much and only go so far, and I really wanted Yanni to give you a little bit more perspective, to let you understand a little bit more. We really just want to thank you guys for this time today, and come and talk to us. It'd be great. Take it away, buddy.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Okay, thanks. So my name is Jani. I'm from Slovakia. I was born in Czechoslovakia. And when I was in a kindergarten, my teachers told me that if I will, you know, don't finish my eating my food, or I will, you know, throw it on the floor, the God will punish me, like to make something wrong in my arms and legs and that kind of stuff. And I was growing in so many lies. And I remember after, you know, split, it was Slovakia and different republics, and after I start junior high, and just before I start high school, I went to one camp with the Christians. I thought, okay, Christians, I know what the Christianity is about. But I want to tell you one thing. You guys are lucky. You have so many healthy churches around you. You are surrounded by them. In Slovakia, we're living in lies, many of us, and I was one of them. So before high school, I thought it's about attending church, doing like good work, and have some, you know, points, and somehow climb to the heaven. But before my high school, during this summer, I was at this camp with Christians, and they were really crazy for me because they were praying like I never heard before. They were singing to God. I never heard this before. And they explained me it's really about a personal relation with Christ. I never heard this before. I was going to church 15, 16 years. My parents took me, and I never heard it's about their personal relationship. And after I, you know, short story, it's like I became a Christian, I accepted Christ, and I start looking around me, and I still see so many people living in lies. And the statistic is like 99% of Slovaks, they don't know what is it about. They don't know it's about the Christ and the relationship. And I'm the one of the this 1% generation, they really try reach the other generation. And this is my life calling, I believe. And this is all Joshua Venture is about, to equip young leaders to reach this other 99. And this is there is no greater joy for me to see when young people are getting it, they accepting Christ, or if I see them growing, being equipped, discipled. There's no greater joy. And I'm investing my life in that ministry. And I want to challenge you, if you want to see how it is in Europe, Eastern Europe, you can go and talk to us. We'll be in this Mickey dining room. Mikey, sorry. You know where is it, yeah? Cool. And also in the hallway, there's this table, ping pong and stuff. So I can share more stories. We'll be there. We have some videos and stuff. So make sure you will meet us. But before we'll close it, I will pray in a Slovak language, okay? Drahý nebeský Oče, ja ti ďakujem za túto chvíľu, ďakujem ti za týchto ľudí a ďakujem ti za to, že si ich stvoril, že ich chceš viesť, že ich voláš byť misionárom. Ďakujem, Pane, za to, že sme tu mohli byť a prosím o to, aby si každého z nich viedol, aby mohli žiť Tebe na slávu, Tebe na chválu, aby si sa tešil z toho, koľko ovocia prinášajú Tebe. Amen.
We hope you were blessed by this message. Additional audio messages and learning resources are available at www.ciu.edu/bookstore or call 803-807-5263. Messages are also available by podcast at iTunes. CIU is a regionally accredited biblical university offering undergraduate and graduate degree programs. Our purpose is to educate people from a biblical worldview to impact the nations with the message of Christ. Thank you for letting us minister to you today.